Okay, so the next, so this, the first half amud, or three quarters of the amud, of Vav Amud Bet went very quickly. We did it in one shiur, and I think we covered it. Well, the second part of Vav Amud Bet until the two dots in Zion and Aleph, as Eitan noted when he came to me, is that, you know, there's like 25 topics that are packed into it. And he asked me, are we dealing with that today? The answer is, well, slowly, 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 we have to get through this because there is a lot going on. So I think the best way to do this is to briefly read through the Gemara, highlight how many issues we actually need to tackle on the next, you know, whatever it is, about three quarters of an amud. And then we will take them up over the course of several shiurim. Okay. So the Gemara says as follows. Amar Yehuda Marav, ha-bodek tzarich sheyivatel. One who does bidikat chametz must also do bitul chametz. If I just stop there, someone tell me why this is, why is this mechudash? What is, why is this novel? What is it introducing? Right, meaning what's the logic there? If you're searching why she has to nullify, why would you think you don't have to? Because you found it. Very good. Because the Gemara is assuming that you found it. Very good. And therefore, at this stage, what would your implication be? Well, what's the, so what are you implying in the question? That that if you didn't, that if you found everything, right, you mean your havamino is that if you found everything, you wouldn't have to nullify it. Good. What is that telling you, what is implicit in your havamina about the connection between Bidika and Bittul? Clarify. That's not what you said. Not necessarily. You could say it's secondary, but let's clarify. What did you say? That if you found, if you indeed found everything, you wouldn't have to do Bittul. Right? So therefore, what does that imply about the connection between Bidika or Bittul? No. What is Gabe assuming? What? Yeah, they accomplish the same thing. That Bidika and Bittul both are only ways of getting rid of Chametz. So you might have thought that if you did Bidika, you wouldn't need to do Bittul. And then, Gabe, there's a secondary question, which is Bittul secondary to Bidika? Right, meaning the ideal way to get rid of chametz would be to search for it and then presumably destroy it. And bidikah is secondary. You could reach that conclusion within Gabe's Havamina, or you could not. You could say they're equal, meaning it could have easily said, right? I mean, you could have thought that if you did bidikah, you don't need to do bittul, and if you did bittul, you don't need to do bidikah. The point is that if you thought that bidikah and bittul were just both ways of reach, of finding and getting rid, were both ways of destroying chametz, so then you might have thought you only need one and not the other. And then you got to figure out which one you give priority to. Gabe is assuming, and admittedly in this Gemara, that's probably the better Havamina, that Bidika is primary. And that's why it says that the Chiddush is that even though you did Bidika, you need Bittul, but not necessarily. Right? Not necessarily. We could read it elsewhere. Now, all of that is in the implied Havamina, but the Gemara ends up saying, no, it's not true. That if you do Bidika, you need to do Bittul. Good. Now someone tell me, before the Gemara says, my taima, right? Before we see the Gemara's explanation, if I told you, you need to do Bidika and you need to do Bittul, so what does that tell me? Broadly speaking. Before we get into details. Very good. They accomplish two different things. Now, in what way do they accomplish different things? Right? Are we clear so far? Right, if I say that Abodik Sarach Shevatel, that implies that Bidika and Bittul accomplish different things. That's why you need both. Right. What don't I know yet?
What the difference
is. What types of differences could I look for?
Maybe it's practical differences.
Very good. I mean, one could be
practical differences.
Practical, right? Variety of practical. Like, in theory, if I found all the chametz, I wouldn't need to do Bittul, but maybe I won't find all the chametz.
And therefore, the
right? And therefore, Bidika and Bittul are both trying to get rid of chametz, but
in different ways, which are both
necessary. No. Well, no, what you're saying, practical, is they're trying to do the same thing. It's just that right. Bidika might not work. I might miss something or something like that.
Right.
And therefore, Bittul. So that's right. And then you could come up with different ones, right? Maybe there's things I physically can't access. There's right, all types of things. Or, as we saw before, what about Yadua Vishashena Yadua, things I know about, I don't know about. Or...
You could say, I like the scope of the Diga.
Yeah, right. Or you could say, fundamentally, they're accomplishing different things. I mean, Medika is doing one thing,
right,
and Bittel is doing something else, right? So, right, we haven't gotten... So we haven't gotten past... How many words have we done? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... 8 words,
okay.
Right? Right? Just there, you realize that the Havamina of the Gemara is negating, and now the rule that it's introducing open up a tremendous number of possibilities. But the fundamental question we need to ask is, what is the connection between Bidika and Bittel? Now, before I continue the Gemara, one more thing. Does anyone remember Shita to Rishonim that you should probably keep in the back of your mind as you read the Gemara? Have we ever talked about the connection of Bidika and Bittel this year?
Oh, well,
I remember that. I don't know.
Oh, you mean like our first Mishnah, right? Right at the beginning. Where I remember Rashi had said, what is the purpose of Bidika? To avoid Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. Tosfot had said, to avoid eating. So we saw already at the beginning that at first glance, Rashi assumes that Bidika and Bittel are closer together because they're both in some way, though maybe not identically, accomplishing the goal of getting rid of Chametz. And Tosfot assumes that they're fundamentally different, that Bittel is getting rid of Chametz and Bidika is making sure that you don't eat it. But you see how that question, both of those possibilities now need to emerge from the analysis we're going to read here in the Gemara, right? Because this is the main Gemara that Tosfot already noted that forces you to ask the question, how were Bidika and Bittel connected? Okay, 8 words in, we're good? Good. So now the Gemara asks, and what I want you to do is keep all the models that we just talked about in mind, and... And let's see how they play out as we continue in the Gemara, okay? So the Gemara now says, my daima. Yeah. Why? What does why imply?
One should be asking why,
meaning it's not obvious that Bidika and Bittel are distinct. Right? Right, it's not obvious that they're distinct. There's a good logic to say that someone who did Bidika does not need to do Bittel. That's why the Gemara is asking this. Yes? We agree? And when you say my timer, that means that it's not obvious. Right? If something was obvious, you wouldn't ask why. But it's not obvious. The Gemara says, okay.
Well, that leads me to think that it's probably that the way that the Gemara is going is less of a practical difference, because practical differences would be more obvious.
Not necessarily, right? Gemara could be saying, okay, what practical differences are there? The Gemara is practical sometimes. So let's look. The Gemara says, Enema. What does Enema tell you? If you're going to say, what does that already telegraph to you? It's going to be rejected. That here's a hava amina, here's a possibility, but we're not going to accept it. But possibility one, Mishum Perurin.
Crumbs.
If you're going to tell me crumbs. So if someone please explain to me what the Gemara just said there. That Bittel gets the stuff that what? Very good. Right, the Gemara is assuming at some level that Bidika, that there are things that Bidika is going to miss. And Bittel is therefore there to accomplish the something, getting rid of, halachic getting rid of, avoidance of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh for that which is missed by Bidika. So the Gemara's first suggestion as to what might be missed by Bidika but covered by Bior is crumbs. What's the problem? We don't care. The Gemara says, halo chashive. They are not important. And what does that mean, they're not important? So this is the problem.
They don't matter.
Oh, they don't matter. Why don't they matter? So Eitan says they don't matter because you're not going to eat them. So what did you already assume? Tosfot, correct. That Bidika is about eating. And Bittel, right? You're not But if that's the case, then what does Bittel help about eating? Bidika might help about eating. What would Bittel do to crumbs? I don't know. Okay, we'll see. Maybe it'll be. Okay, good. What else? So there's some rules you have to know, and we'll do this not today, but we'll do it. We're going to focus on the crumb line soon. Not today, but like I said, we have to read them more carefully to understand how many problems we need to address. We're not going to address all of them. We're going to address at least several. What? Oh, very good. So Adan says, but wait a second. Why should I violate for Peirin? What was the Gemara's Havamina? They're less than a shear. They're less than a shear, and therefore what? They're not food. Therefore what?
It's not substantial. You didn't have any relevance.
For what?
For any.
So one possibility is it's not significant for Bal Yer or Bal Yematze. Right? Well, another possibility is it's not Chashuv for what Eitan said, which is eating. Because maybe you think Bidika is about eating, but it's not totally clear why Bittel would help to prevent you from eating, but you might have thought that even if Bittel and Bidika are both about preventing eating, don't think too much about that. Still, if it's just crumbs, it's not a Kezayit. If it's not a Kezayit, then what? Then it's Bachot Mikashir, and you don't violate eating of Chametz either. Good, but what rule should be in the back of your minds that would complicate this picture? No, there is a shear, but there's a rule in Kol HaTorah Kula, which is Chatzi Shear. Chatzi Shear is what, meaning less than a full shear is also forbidden. It's a machloket or Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether Chatzi Shear Asher Min HaTorah or not. And the Gemara in Yoma Dachayin Gimel is a machloket Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish as to whether Chatzi Shear is Asher Min HaTorah, of whether a partial measurement. So normally, less than a full measurement is problematic. Not as problematic, but problematic. Here the Gemara assumes, is it problematic at all? No, why not? So now what are you going to have to do? You have to figure out, is it that crumbs don't fit into the normal rule of Chatzi Shear Asher Min HaTorah? That for some reason, under other circumstances, if you have half a shear of pig, so then it's usser, but not as usser as a full kezayit. But here it's zero, right? So this could, right? So you would have to address it within the realm of chatzi shear, or what would you have to do? Address the possibility that maybe this has nothing to do with chatzi shear, because could you have peirin which are a shear? Could you have crumbs that reach a shear? I'm asking you, in theory, can you? Maybe how? Gabe says no, but let me ask you. Can you? Well, is that a crumb? Well, we don't know. So it could be that maybe... So Gabe said maybe it could be that a crumb is a kezayit, but also... Oh, so Gabe says, whoa. Maybe that's why it says peirin. Because maybe crumbs are different than big pieces, right? Even if they're less than a shear, very good. Ramosha Feinstein is going to say that. Chasson Ish is going to say that. Very good. Because some of you are going to say that. But what does that get at, Gabe? Is what you're saying a rule within the world of Chatzi Shear? Or are you suggesting a Chametz rule?
I'm saying that it's not Chatzi Shear at all.
Okay, good. So Gabe says maybe Peirin are not even Chatzi Shear at all. So now if I asked you, Gabe, does that mean that you could, I don't know, stick your finger in a pig and just lick your finger? Because that's like, it's so he says, maybe. Good. So there are, so that, what you said, there is such a minority, very, very minority view that maybe chatzi shear is literal. Meaning, not less than a shear, but mamash chatzi. Right? Chatzi shear counts, but it has to be chatzi. Less than that is nothing. That is a chiddush. There is such a shita. Fine. But what if you... Very good. But if you didn't want to say that, you might argue that the issue here is not a general function of Shirim, but as a function of Chametz. Good. Why would Chametz be different? Nadav, why would Chametz be different? Why by Chametz would you say that even if in by pig, you couldn't put your finger in the pig and lick it, right? Maybe by Chametz, the equivalent of having, you know, crumbs would not be a problem. What have we learned this year that might indicate that it's different? And therefore, but why particularly in chametz is the fact that the crumbs are minuscule, is that important? Because let's say it's not by pig. Let's say Gabe is not right.
Because
Because?
Can you please describe a crumb to
it? No.
Is this a microscopic crumb?
No.
Yeah. What might you
say? Crumbs that would be considered, you know, like, was there any way around the year that feel like that are behind the second one barely coming to the floor?
Because
there is no possible way you can search there.
And therefore?
And therefore, you would do another class of the fourth, but is it fine? You have something.
Well, that's what we're talking about, but here the Gemara is saying you don't even have to nullify crumbs, seemingly. Right? Why? Come on, very good, because we've talked about in Chametz, right? Remember we talked about the crazy sheet of the Michtam? Right? The ones I'm Mevat El Chametz, I could eat it, right? Remember we talked about Chametz has certain unique things about it, like maybe it's only usher when you relate to it as food. So maybe the Gemara is making a local point that, look, crumbs, maybe in Chatz Yishir they're usher, but Chametz is different, right? Chametz has certain unique features to it where it's about how I relate to it. And maybe in that sense, lo chashive isn't because of a general Chatz Yishir like Gabe wants to suggest. Maybe it's local. That Chametz uniquely, there comes a point where it's so insignificant that we don't have to worry about it because of the psychological components. Intrinsic in
Chametz, whereas if you dip your finger into a vat of pig fat and you're like, no, this isn't relevant, you literally have a bowl of pig fat in front of you.
Correct. And you might also want to distinguish between eating and owning. Okay, good. Yes, another possibility. If all we do today is get through the Gemara and highlight all the problems that we need to do, that's fine, because this Amud is full of problems. Yeah. Ah, very good. Gabe says, wait, if I understand Bittel that way, now you start to understand why you have to read this carefully. He says, wait. Oh, are you telling me that how I understand this sugya depends on how I understand Bittel? Whoa, that's a crazy idea. Yes, very good. Right? That if I thought that Bittel makes it like dirt, so maybe crumbs. This isn't a general point about Chatz Yishir. It's a point about Chametz, is that the point of Bittel is to make it dirt, but Perurin are already dirt. Very good. Voila, look at that. Right? Amazing. Now you realize that, yes, I think the first thing I said in it was, no, I didn't say it. I should have just said, remember everything we've learned about Bittel before you further read this. I didn't say that. I'm sorry. Right? That should be obvious. But yes, on the next sheet, I think I did. And I just said, remember everything we've learned. So the Gemara says that can't be. V'chitema, possibility two. Kevan deminter luhu agav beite chashive. Maybe because the crumbs are what? Are guarded by your house. They are important. Why would you say such a thing?
You care about things in your house.
And therefore what?
And therefore, since it's in your house, maybe even though you normally wouldn't care about crumbs, it has something within it that, since it's in your house, it has a din of something you care about.
Meaning what? So we'll push back, right? Is that Gabe said, maybe crumbs are nothing. But wait a second, how could you say they're nothing? They're being kept warm and fuzzy in your house, right? But so is the dirt. So maybe you'd say, right, but this is the Havamina, which the Gemara isn't going to accept. But the Gemara, so you might have thought, wait a second. I understand you want to say you don't need to do anything to crumbs that are outside, but maybe if they're in our house. No, I have to care about it. Why? Because Mimela, we've talked about Chametz is how I relate to it. But I'm protecting these poor crumbs, poor crumbs from the elements. Now, another thing that you have to notice is what else might Bayit do? The Gemara now introduces the possibility that the fact that crumbs are in your house make it worse. Why else might it make it worse? One might be the psychological component.
Ownership,
very good. What else? Very good, Eitan. Very good. Is another possibility is, wait a second, you might tell me that it's just a crumb. And I would say, in a Hanami, it's just a crumb. But look at your filthy house. There are crumbs everywhere. You're looking at a crumb, but they're all within your house. And you know what happens if I manage to get all the crumbs in your house? How many of you have ever had that experience? How many of you have younger siblings, like little siblings? Do you remember when you used to have car seats in the car? Do you remember? Do you remember what happens? Were any of you ever, you know, clean other people's cars? Like, you know, and I know in some places, the high schools, right, they raise money by cleaning cars. You ever pull out all the car seats? Each Cheerio is not a kizayit. But if you think that you can't actually, if a starving person couldn't actually survive for a day or two on the collected Cheerios that are under car seats and pull them out, then you are lucky because your younger siblings are not as messy as most children, right? Most children, it is quite a, when you pull off those car seats on Erev Pesach, well, hopefully not Erev, Erev is a bad time to do it, a week before Pesach, you clean your car and you're like, how is that there? How did that even get there? You realize, yeah, Oreos, cakes, he's with his parents. He's with his parents buying fresh Oreos, you know. But yeah, so maybe the function of Bayit is not the psychological issue. As Zaytan says, maybe the point of Bayit is you would have had a Hava Amina that the reason the crumbs are Chashuv is because even though any individual crumb is not Chashuv, leaving aside Moshe's question, can you define a crumb? Maybe I can't define a crumb. But I know that many, many, many of said crumbs, when they join in my house, you know, Yesh ba'ayah, because I'd say, look, if I had a single crumb, the chances that ants are going to come inviting my house are not so important. But as you all know, if your entire floor is covered in crumbs, each crumb may not be significant, but that army of ants is going to come one way or the other, because they don't care if it's one big piece or 1,000 little pieces, right? They're coming.
That's terrifying.
What?
That's terrifying.
Yeah, if you live in Israel, get used to it. I don't know what it is. I think, I don't know. Answer like, doesn't matter. New house, you know, whenever summer comes, you got to be, you know.
I remember from last
time. Yeah. I mean, ant shell is great. It's highly toxic. You put it like this much, like pachot mikashir, near where they are and they all die. Like, they just never come back. It's like unbelievable. You buy this little thing, it looks like a what's it called?
Super glue or something?
Yeah, like that. Like a little, you know, syringe. Yeah. You know, and just boop. Yeah. No, you put it near there. Yeah, they bring it back and they all that. Yeah. But they will come. Right? They will come.
Yeah, we had a major problem last
year. Yeah. Answer, you know.
Like a really cruel way of killing
it. I'm sorry. Would you like to deal with it? Do you have a better idea, Benjamin?
Poison them directly? You're making them bring it back to their home?
Well, where did you... How am I supposed to find them? Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, that can't be, but Tanya, the Brita says, Sofei Teinim, the end of the fig harvest, Umishamar Sadeu B'mini Anavim. And I'm still guarding my house. So the halacha that we're working on here is that something which is hefker is not chayev in Trumat Maaser, right? So the Gemara says, okay, what if it's the end of the fig harvest, and therefore the halacha is at the end of the fig harvest, everything is leftover figs are hefker. And therefore, are they chayev in Trumat Maaser?
No.
But then the Gemara says, but what if I have like a field, and part of my field is figs, and part of it is grapes. And let's say there's only one entrance. To make it easy. I have a fence around my whole property, and there's only one entrance. So now, the grapes are still in season, and therefore I put up a Mordechai to be my scary watchman over my property. And Mimela, because he's making sure that no one comes and steals my Cabernets and Merlots and Shiraz grapes and all the stuff and whatever. In my vineyard.
That's behind your 18 bedroom mansion.
Correct, but now not in like middle of nowhere in America because you wouldn't provide, you can't make good wine there. But whatever, okay. Definitely not Toronto. What? Niagara, yes. What?
They're all
Concord grapes. And they have to be Israel anyways, because it's Trumat Maaser.
Right.
Has to be Israel. So, whatever, somewhere in the north, fine. Somewhere in the north where I can afford property enough to build a to build a winery and plant a vineyard. So Gemara says, in that case, Now, why is this comparable? Because we're assuming that there's a case where there's something which is batel, or right, which I don't care about. And nevertheless, I am... I'm guarding it, which is like the crumbs, right? So here, I am protecting my figs, even though I don't care about the figs, because I'm protecting my grapes. So similarly, I'm protecting my crumbs, not because I care about the crumbs, but because I care, you know, about everything else in my house. And therefore, you know, I lock the door at night, but not because I care. Like, I assure you that if I knew someone was coming in only to steal the crumbs off my floor, like he was going to come very carefully and sweep my floor every night and steal the crumbs, I would I would encourage such a crumb thief. But once you let in the weird crumb thief, you're not quite sure what a creep like that might also be doing in your house, right? So that's parallel to this case. So the Gemara says, Mishamratim b'nei anavim, sofitinim mishamratinim b'nei mikshaot, umipay midlaot, or the end of the grape season, you're doing it for types of gourds. So bizman shebal habayit makbid aleihen asurin mishum gezel v'chayavim v'maser. If the owner of the field cares about these figs, then it's forbidden to take them because it's stealing, and you're chayavim maser because they're not hefker. Bizman sheina bal habayit makbid aleihen, but when the owner doesn't care about them, mutarin mishum gezel p'turin mishum maser. So what does that show? That when I happen to be guarding something, that doesn't change its status, which might be hefker, right? Now, it could be that this Gemara is telling you that something after bittel is hefker. It could be saying this is parallel to hefker, so that would go back to Tosura, etc. But the point is that just because the crumbs in your house, that doesn't mean that suddenly I am machshiv them, that I care about them, just because I'm guarding them. What? Probably. Well, maybe. No, maybe. Let's say maybe. So the Gemara, therefore, gives up on this and says, simple pshat of what Rava is about to do is that the first few stages were going in the Mordechai direction, which is Bittel and Bidik are fundamentally trying to accomplish the same thing, but there's a quantitative difference, a practical difference between them. And the Gemara said that just doesn't work because I can't work it out. And therefore, I'm introducing a more fundamental difference between Bedika and Bittel. And that is, what? Amarava Bedika Gzeira Shemayimta Geluska Yafa Vedaite Lave. It's Gzeira that you might find a beautiful loaf of bread and care about it. What's the problem? So, first of all, you should note, in the Gemara, remember I said, it sounds like the... Remember the original question, which was, if I need to do Bedika, why do I also need to do Bittel? And how does Gemara answer? What?
In a case where it seems that there's something except Bittel, and that you need to do Bedika to
fix it. Right, do you understand the problem here, right? Right, according to Tosfot, what is the Gemara answering? Once I do Bittel, why do I need to do Bedika? Right, you understand that? The question was, why does someone who does Bedika need to do Bittel? And according to Tosfot, how he understands this line, it answers the opposite question.
Right?
Right? Remember Tosfot? Tosfot said that the reason that you have, right, Bedika must be Derabanan, because Bittel gets rid of the Chametz. Bedika prevents you from eating it. That is the simple pshat, except... You might have lost track. This is why it's always important to keep track of the Gemara. The question in the Gemara was, if I did Bedika, why do I still need to do Bittel? And the Gemara answers, well, because if you do Bittel, you need to do Bedika, otherwise you'll eat it. Wait. And that's why I said to you at the beginning, right, you have to be careful. Is the Gemara really asking why someone who does Bedika has to do Bittel? Because in that case, this answer is very hard. Or is it saying simply, why do you need both? Right? If the Gemara's question was, why do you need both, this is a fine answer. Right? Which is, why do I need Bedika and Bittel? Because Bedika does something Bittel doesn't. It's weird because the simple pshat of the question was, what does Bittel add to Bedika? And the answer is, seemingly,
well, here is why
This is correct. Now, do you, anyone know some solutions to this? Very good. So if you remember the Ron, all the beginning of the year, the Ron said, well, let's talk about this Bedika thing. Bedika could be Delraita if you didn't do Bittul. Remember that? Ron said, how could Rashi say that Bedika is accomplishing, right, avoiding Balya Balya Matze? Doesn't Bittul do that? And what was Rashi, what was the Ron's answer for Rashi? It's talking on a theoretical. If I didn't do Bittul, then Bedika would be Midaraita. But now that I need, now that I did Bittul, then it's Darabanan. But Bedika has the potential to be Daraita, which means that there are times when Bedika stands alone. There are times when it does not. Once you start saying things like that, then you could make sense of this. If you wanted to be crazy radical, how could I read this Gemara? If I wanted to be hyper-literalist and say, no, the Gemara's question was, if I did Bedika, then why do I need to do Bittul? And the Gemara's answer is, because you might find a loaf of bread and eat it. How could I, how, if I wanted to be radical and I wanted to read Gemara as is and say that that answers the question, what would I do? Yes, good. Who says that? On Vav Amud Bet. The Michtam. Remember the Michtam? Remember him? That it, once you did Bittul, if you eat it, it's mutter. Remember that Mechtam? Do you understand where the Mechtam's coming from now? Do you understand where the radical... Now, do you understand where the radical Mechtam comes from? From a hyper-literal read of this Gemara. Right? Which is, if I did Bedika, why do I still need to do Bittul? Answer, you might eat the bread. How does Bittul help that? Answer, according to the Mechtam?
You can eat the bread now.
Now you can eat the bread. Very good. Thank you, Mordechai. So... Now you understand where the Michtam, again, he rejects this, but now you understand where that Shita and the Michtam comes from. Is the Gemara, he's reading the Gemara hyper literally, and that would lead you to the conclusion I just said, which is admittedly completely insane, which is why everybody rejects it, la halacha, because it is obviously incorrect. But if you held by that Shita and the Michtam, the Gemara...
Yes. I mean, the Michtam calls you an idiot, but...
Yes, yes, but oh, that person. Oh yeah, yeah. You know he doesn't like it either. Okay.
What were the words?
Theoretical. What?
What were the words from Mechtam when he rejected Hasar who low?
It was yeah. It was a. Oh, we don't even know who it is. It was some guy in Provence that he knew. I don't know. I don't know who it was. It was you know probably it was his like chavrusa or something. You know, like always says these are. So like he was learning and his chavrusa said, "I have a lumdus far," and he said. My chavrusa wrote this, and he's an idiot. He is, you know. No, 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 right? These are the things that comes up in Seder, especially like, you know, if you're like Nadav and you're learning till 1 in the morning, you know. That's when your best svaras come, when your inhibitions are down, you're exhausted, and suddenly you say, I have a chiddush! I have an amazing chiddush! There you go. Yalla. Okay. So the Gemara, but what the Gemara seems to be saying is that, yeah, Bittul and Bedika accomplish different things. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Why do you need to do Bedika? What's the big deal? When you find the loaf of bread, why don't you just live atlay? Just do Bittul. Why do you have to rely on Bedika? So do Bittul, right? If you find it, do Bittul then. You don't have to do Bittul early. Why don't you have to do Bittul before Pesach? Gemara says, I understand. I understand. Maybe you'll miss something. So if I miss something, I'll do Bittul later. Now, first of all, what does that imply? No, that's the next line in the Gemara. Next line in the Gemara. What does that imply? I should ask you a very simple question. Wait a second. So if I find chametz on the third day of Pesach, the Gemara says, no problem, just do Bittul then. Does that imply that the Gemara thinks that I didn't violate Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh for the first 3 days before I found it? Does finding it make you violate? Maybe. Very good. Thank you. The answer is maybe not. Because as we've talked about, being aware of the chametz, finding the chametz, is actually possibly part of the issur. So it's actually not completely impossible that the Gemara is entertaining the possibility that you don't violate until you find the chametz. Another, if you want to mitigate that extreme claim, you could say you don't violate Bal Yerah Bal Yimatzeh if you find chametz if you did bedikah. I mean, if I did my best to find the chametz and I missed something, then maybe only in that circumstance I don't violate when I find it, because maybe you're an ones, right? I did my best, right? So if you want to go very radically, you could say like Gabe and say, what's the problem? I don't understand. It's very simple, right? I didn't know it was there. I don't violate. Lo Yimatzeh, I don't know, right? I didn't know I was going to find it. I did find it, so now I'll get rid of it. But before, it was unfound, and therefore it was fine. If I want to take a more mitigated view, you would say, no, like if I did nothing, if I didn't try to search my house at all, then in a chanami, if you miss chametz, that is your fault. But if you searched your house and missed it, okay. So the Gemara says, but that's another question that we're going to have to deal with, okay? How many of these questions we'll get to, we'll see, right? I just wanted to show you how complicated, right? So you go from a Gemara, which is pretty easy, to a Gemara where every line is quite hard. So the Gemara says, no, the reason you can't do bittul is because dilma mishkachat le'levatar isure, because maybe you'll find it after the isur of chametz took effect. V'lav v'rshutei kaima, so therefore it's no longer in your possession. V'lo matzei mevatel, and you're no longer able to nullify it. Why not? Why can't you be mevatel it after the shot isur? The Amar Rebbe Elazar, because Rebbe Elazar says that line that we've seen so many times this year, but now we see it in context. The Amar Rebbe Elazar, Shnei Dvarim Einan Bershuto Shel Adam. There are two things in Halacha that are not within the possession of a person. The Asana Katuv Ki Ilu Bershuto. But the Torah made it as if they are yours. V'elohein, what are they? Bor b'rshut ha-rabim. If you open up a pit in the middle of the public sphere. V'chametz mi'sheshod u'lima'ala. And chametz from 6 hours and on. Good. Which 6 hours, by the way? What does 6 hours mean? Two possibilities? Beginning or end. What's the difference between beginning or end? Derabara to deraita. Very good. At the end of 6 hours, it doesn't be deraita. Beginning of 6 hours, Asr Midrabanan. Which one does the Gemara mean here? Not entirely clear. Very good. Good answer. One of those. Very good. So now, what's the problem? The Gemara assumes that because it's not really yours, but sort of is yours, you're not allowed to do bittul. Why not? So why don't you have it? So this is the problem we've got to figure out. What does it mean you don't have it? And what you got to figure out what you have and what you need to be mevatel, right? What does that mean? I don't own it? Why? But I do own it. But the Torah made it mine. Right, but Hashem gave it to me. So now why can't I be mevatel if He gave it to me? Oh, very good. He only gave me the problems of these. But we got to figure out, well, why can't you do bittul? Meaning, what does it mean I don't own it? Why don't I own it? And what is it about not owning it that makes it that I can't do bittul? Good. So Gabe assumes that if I can't use it, I can't get benefit from it. So then obviously I don't really own it halachically, and therefore I can't give arb rights to it because I don't have any rights. Good. Who holds that? Rashi. Very good. Rashi holds that. Who doesn't hold that? Well, we'll see. No, the Ritva. The Ritva doesn't hold that. The Ritva doesn't believe that. We'll get there, but close. Okay, but Rashi, in fact, says that, but we'll see that inside soon. Not today, but soon in the Sukkah. So the Gemara says, V'nivatle ba'arba, v'nivatle b'chamesh. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. Now, for the first time, we discover when are we doing bittul. Literally with bedika at night. So the Gemara says, but if the only problem is I'm not able to do bittul tomorrow after either at or after the sixth hour. So water and I say, fine, do bittel at the fourth hour. Do we do that? We do, by the way. We do both. Right, the minhag is to do bittel at night and during the day. You remember? Anyone remember? You do kol chamira at night, kol chamira during the day. Remember that? That's bittel. You do this, yeah. But the Gemara says, why don't I just during the day? Cave and the lazman isurahu. It says, nah. Lazman biru dilma pasha vila mevatel. Lay. So that's not this man isur, and it's not this man biur, and therefore you might just forget. So we have to practically attach it to bedika. So now, at the beginning of the Gemara, so now I want to ask you a broader question, which is what I gave you the sources on. How related are bittel and bedika? The beginning of Gemara, it sounded like they were connected. It's not clear whether they accomplished the same thing or not, but they seem to be connected. By the end, are they connected? Not clear, right? Meaning they accomplish seemingly two different things. And why are they joined together temporally? So you don't forget, right? Like, I just need a good time. And if I tell you, right, when you open up your sitter to say the bracha on bedika, it'll have kol chamira there also. So you'll remember, right? So at the beginning of the Gemara, if you'd asked me how connected are conceptually bedika and bittel, I would have said, at least somewhat, right? The framing of the Gemara, right? That habodek tzarech sheivatel sounds like they're connected, but by the end, the Gemara has now established that they seem to accomplish different purposes, and why are they joined together in time? So you don't forget, which implies that by the end, how connected are they? Not so clear that they're connected fundamentally, right? Not so clear that they're connected fundamentally. So now let's turn to the next. I'm debating how much to annoy Mo. Turn to the next. See, he doesn't want me to say the Yiddish. Turn to the next, daf and or blot. Okay. Okay, good. And or? No? What? Blot?
Yes.
In its proper Yiddish pronunciation, which is actually
black, I don't know Russian. I just know yeshivish, right? To turn to the next, daf. Vinivatle. Mishid, so the Gemara says, just be mevatlet at the sixth hour. So the Gemara says, no. And now, if you thought the Gemara was complicated before, just wait for what's about to hit you. And the Gemara says, so why in the sixth hour do I not do bittel? Then it's not us or me, d'oraita. Gemara's answer, why would you assume there's a difference between d'oraita and d'rabbanan? Where did you get that idea? Kevan di isura d'rabbanan ilave, since it is rabbinically forbidden. Kid d'oraita damya. It's as if it's biblical.
Oh.
V'lav yershute kaime v'lo matzi mevatel. So it's not within your possession, and you cannot be mevatel. Proof?
What does that even mean? Like...
Good question. That's what we're going to have to figure out. What? And the Gemara says proof, and maybe the proof will clarify it. Halavai. The Amar of Gidol Amar of Chia Bar Yosef Amar Rav, because Gidol said they were Chia Bar Yosef, they were Rav. Hamekadesh Mishe Shoru Lemala. If you marry a woman from six hours and on, again, 6 hours or sixth hour?
No.
Very good, Machloket. Very good. Afilu Bechite Kordenaita. Even with, what's Chite Kordenaita?
According to most commentaries, the Gemara prefers an extremely hard wheat kernel days for the place of worship, the mountains of Kurdistan. Indeed, Unculus renders the mountains of Ararat as to red carpet with the Kurdish mountains. The species of wheat that grows in the mountainous region is much harder than the grains that grow in the plains. Others claim that Kordenaita does not refer to its place of origin, but describes the grain itself, which is as hard as a rocky mountainside.
Good. So there are different possibilities of what Chiti Kordenaita is. Either it depends where it's from or how hard it is. Is it Chametz D'Oraita or Chametz D'Rabbanan? Well, not clear. Because what do we know about this case? framing-wise, what do we know about this case? The Gemara is about to establish the possibility that just like that Chametz D'Oraita is forbidden and you don't really own it, so Chametz D'Rabbanan as well. Yes?
Right.
Very good. Is Chite D'Ordinaita D'Oraita D'Rabbanan?
Sounds like it'll be D'Oraita.
Well, we don't know yet. Why? Because it says Sheshaot, and therefore, if Sheshaot is, there are, how many possibilities are there? If Sheshaot means after 6 hours, then the Zman is De'oraita. The time is De'oraita, and then you have to say that the Chametz that we're talking about is Chametz De'rabanan. Because otherwise, we can't prove it. We're trying to prove that something which is De'rabanan. But that means that what have we just done? We've said that Chametz De'oraita in a De'rabanan time is the same as Chametz De'rabanan in a De'oraita time. Or you could say that the sixth hour means the sixth hour, meaning it's Derabanan, and Chite Kardinaita could be De'oraita, and therefore we're saying, yes, here's a proof directly from the fact that De'oraita time, sorry, that De'oraita Chametz and Derabanan time is Asr Bahana, right? Or you could say that maybe Chite Kardinaita is Derabanan, and the Gemara sees no difference between Chametz De'oraita and Derabanan time and Chametz Derabanan and Derabanan time. Did that confuse you?
Yeah.
Yes, but that's the problem, is we got to figure out what a chita kardinaita is, because the Gemara is bringing it from a case of chidushin, and we got to figure out what it is. I put one guess I shouldn't there, right? Obviously, we're talking about derabanan at this point. But the Gemara says, lubatar isuri lomatzi mevatalei. The Gemara says, is it true that after bittel, after this man of Isra, I'm not letting him mevatal, vatanya, but didn't the bride say that, hayayoshe beta midrash, if you're learning in the beta midrash, when iskar sheish chametz betoch beto, and you remember the chametz in your house, mivatlo bilibo, and you can just nullify it in your heart, echad Shabbat, echad Yom Tov, whether it's Shabbat or Yom Tov. So bishlam Shabbat mishkachat laws. I understand Shabbat, you're going shechal arbas, haliyot b'Shabbat. That's where it's Erev Pesach, shechaliyot b'Shabbat. And that's why it's before the Zman Isser, and nevertheless, you might own chametz. Ela Yom Tov, what Yom Tov could it possibly be? What Yom Tov would you have to be talking about? Pesach, what do we call that? The time of Isser. And yet we said dubitol. Right? Elayom dov batari surahu, so amarav achabar Yaakov, hachabatamid yoshlev lifne rabo askinan. We're talking about a Talmud by his Rebbe on Pesach, but it's not that he remembered that there was chametz. What did he remember? Niskar sheyesh isa migugelet bitoch beito. He remembers that there's dough in his house. And he's worried that the dough might become chametz kodem. Kodem umevatalei. So what does he do? He nullifies non-chametz. Meaning, what is the Gemara saying? That are you allowed to be mevatal chametz on after this manesser? No. What are you allowed to do? Yes, bimavatel to be chametz. Very good. Something that is going to become chametz, because right now, do you own it? Yes. Why do you own it? Because it's not chametz. Very good. Dekonami, let's prove it from the fact, diktani ayoshev betoch beta midrash, shma mina. Because it says that you were in the beit midrash. Now, how does that prove anything? Because the implication, as Rashi had it, is that it sounds like if I was there, I could somehow stop the chametz. Right? The only reason I need to rely on bittul is because I'm not present. So the Gemara makes the diuk that it's not yet chametz. And if I was there, I could just, you know, get rid of it before it became chametz. I'm stuck because I was learning, and that's why I have to rely on bittul. Okay, so to review, good. We've read the Gemara carefully. So the questions we therefore need to figure out as follows. One, we need to figure out, both in the early stage of this Gemara and the later stages in this Gemara, how connected are Bittul and Bedika. Two, we need to figure out, why is it that the Gemara seems to assume that you only violate Bal Yira Bal Yimatze, after I find the chametz, right? Why didn't I violate? Simply because I owned chametz. We need to figure out why the Gemara thinks that, what does it mean that Perurin are not chashuv, right? Why are peirurin not chashuv? Is it because of a general rule in Kol HaTorah Kula, or is it a local halacha to chametz? We need to figure out why is it that the fact that chametz is not really in your possession means that I'm not allowed to be mevatel it, right? Why does bittel require ownership? And what does it mean that I don't own it, but I sort of do? We need to figure out more generally, what is the status of Yisurei Hanah and my ownership of Yisurei Hanah, right? Things I'm forbidden to benefit from. And then we need to figure out, well, what, once we figure out the status of something that's Asur B'Hanah Min HaTorah, we got to figure out what is the status of something which is Asur B'Hanah D'Rabbanan. And then we need to move to the Gemara's equation of these laws with the laws of Kiddushin, where we're not totally sure whether the Gemara is telling us that you can't get married with something which is Asur B'Hanah Midarabanan, Midaraita in a Darabanan time, or Midarabanan in a Darabanan time, and whether there's a difference between all of those issues. I said, we have our work cut out for us in this Amud. So, the first source sheet that I gave you is on the connection between Bedika and Bittel, because that's the one that really emerges from that first word. And the second issue that's on this sheet, I briefly said, right, that you have to remember that there's a machloket about whether there is an Isra Hanah on Erev Pesach after Chatzot. If you remember, we talked about it extensively on the sugi here and the sugi on Daf Chochet. And then there's, right, the question of, again, why you only violate after finding chametz. So I will leave it up to you, because I know that was intense. Would you like to start looking at some of these makarot on the connection with Dika and Bittel, or your brain's fried and you want to pick up with that tomorrow? Yeah, that's not crazy. Okay, anything else that in this Gemara that you think we need to tackle? We're not going to tackle every issue, but I've prepared at this point source sheets on, as you see, connection with Dika and Bittel, why you only violate chametz after finding it. One on the status of Peirurin, right, on the crumbs issue. Third on issues of Isra Hana in general. And then a fourth source sheet on the different levels of Yisurei D'Rabbanan. And those are the four topics I want to cover in this Amud.
There are many problems left. We can start to tackle a little bit on the status of the
No, that's going to be the last, as you can see, right? We have to...
I know,
but
that's the part I'm most confused.
Oh, yeah. So hold on to the Chiddush Koronat, but that is the most confusing.
Okay.
So that's going to be the last thing. So again, the first thing we're going to do is tomorrow we'll deal with the question Bedika and Bittel and violating everyone's chametz. Then we're going to deal with crumbs. Then we're going to deal with can you own Yisurei Hanah in general? And what is it about Yisurei Hanah that prevents you from doing Bittel? Right, and then we're going to deal with the Kiddushin question. Actually, there's two questions there. I think I actually made that in separate source sheets, which is, why is Yisurei Hanah specifically problematic by the context of Kiddushin? Right, what does that tell you about the Kesef Kiddushin? And Derabbanan, I may have combined those source sheets, but those are technically two topics.
What's the problem with using this stuff again?
Because Asur B'Hanah. What that does is a machloket. No, it's a machloket about Rashi and Ritva. We're going to get there. I mean, I could tell you. I know. I already am in the middle of preparing the source sheets to make sure. I'm like trying to cut it down. I have my messy source sheet with a lot of sources that I'm cutting down to the minimal. Yes, Yana.
I was wondering, before we were talking about how the rabbinic provision like treated, like with their right though.
Yes.
How do you make that happen?
Oh, yeah. Okay, we're going to get there.
Yeah.
That's part of the question of different Darabana. So that's what I'm working on now. I'm three star sheets ahead of you on this, Kamara, but that's what the one I'm on now.
Right.
Yes.
I also have a different question. So in the case of the making no man sort of comes from it,
yes.
How does it become a comet if he's not?
It rises. It rises. Yeah, that's what it's talking about. It's talking that I needed it. I left the dough. I go to the Beit Midrash. Gewalt! I left dough rising. I have 5 minutes till it becomes chametz. Yeah. It rises. No. It rises. Yeah, exactly. I put the timer on my watch for 18 minutes, right? And then like you know, the 5-minute warning. I'm like, how could I forget? I was in the middle of, you know. Yes, exactly. Okay, fine.